There is a strange organism, which looks like it has a little hat. It grows absolutely everywhere. But as a child, you may have only thought of this as that gross side dish, or the thing you picked out of cow manure after you tipped a cow over if you wanted to get a buzz. But these strange fungi, or fungi, or fungi, or however you want to pronounce them.
Fungi.
Can be used for so much more. Their health properties do not only come from cow tipping evenings. We're talking about mushrooms.
Yes, that's correct. Talking about fungi. And today we're going to put the fun back in fungi and funerals. So, trigger warning, this episode contains crass jokes about human remains. So if that bothers you, goodbye. Otherwise, you pass the goth test and welcome to the shit show.
Speaking of manure.
So, you're right. Fungi are useful. A lot of people think of fungi as bad things or culinary things only.
Or psychedelic things.
Psychedelic things. That's right. Magic mushrooms. But we're not going to talk about any of those other uses for mushrooms. I know. I'm sorry. We can do mushroom recipes and mushroom psychedelics in a future episode.
Okay.
But mushrooms are used for so many things. Did you know that a lot of the cleanup in Chernobyl is being done by fungi that actually can digest radioactive material?
Oh my goodness. What kind of workers' rights do they have?
No comment.
Are they getting paid in ruples, or is it only like bills that can be used at the company store? I don't know. Man, that doesn't sound very fair to the mushrooms. But okay, as long as they're being fairly compensated, I guess it's okay.
But it's fine. They love it. They love eating radioactive material. Fungi can actually decompose and eat just normal stuff that like cockroaches eat, like cardboard and paper, and they can also digest certain types of plastic, jet fuel, asbestos, and you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Fungi are very useful, and we've been using fungi for more and more things over the past couple of decades. Now they're extremely useful in natural medicines, and there are several people in the mushroom sphere that believe that eventually they'll replace pretty much all pharmaceuticals. Probably not, right. But you never know. I've got my mushrooms right here.
Oh, you take a mushroom pill.
Yep. This company that I'm brandishing this bottle at you, they use a form of mushroom, the part of the mushroom actually called the mycelium. Have you heard of mycelium?
I have, because you said that's what you were going to talk about.
Oh, good. I'm glad you haven't heard of it, because I want to educate. Mycelium is to fungi as roots are to plants.
They're the little things that stick down, and that's how it grows on things?
Yes. But unlike roots, it's very similar composition to the actual fruiting body, which is what we call the part that looks like a little penis that sticks up out of the ground that we eat culinarily. The fruiting body is the above ground part, the stem and the little cap. And then the mycelium is everything that's unseen under the ground.
Wow, I didn't even realize they had any parts underground. I just thought they just kind of spored out and spontaneously appeared.
I don't think a lot of people do realize that mushrooms have a big underground network that connects different mushrooms together and kind of infiltrates soil in order to get nutrients for the mushrooms. But also, mycelium may communicate between mushroom to mushroom almost like language. There is a syntax to the intracellular communication of mycelium.
Which we're going to talk about
in a separate episode.
Oh my God.
Just going to lead you on.
Have they translated it? It's probably like, we want fewer hours for this Chernobyl cleanup. We want workers' comp.
Fair wages for mushrooms. The mycelium is the part under the ground, so it doesn't look like mushrooms. When you have mycelium, it's kind of infiltrated and all up in some dirt. But you can grow and harvest mycelium into a specific shape if you do it in like a controlled environment.
Kind of like a bonsai tree?
Sort of, I guess. Kind of like maybe those Japanese watermelons that are shaped like cubes so you can slice them evenly.
I did not know about that, but I'm not surprised.
Just manipulating the shape based on the container it's grown in.
Mm-hmm.
But the most recent use for mycelium is caskets.
Caskets as in what you'd put a body in.
Yes, what you put a body in. Mm-hmm.
Because you can mold it?
Ha 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 ha. Was that a mold joke?
Yeah, but seriously though, you can manipulate its shape, right? So you could grow it into a casket shape.
Into the shape of a casket. And in fact, the first commercially produced mycelium casket was used for an actual funeral for the first time in 2021.
That's really recent.
It's now a thing. As of the research I was doing, as of the articles there in 2021, only 10 mushroom caskets had been sold worldwide. They were invented by a Dutch inventor named Bob Hendricks. Bob's company, Loop, in Delft, in the Netherlands, has produced a product called the Living Cocoon, which is a casket made entirely of, basically, they use wood chips as a base to grow a mycelium around the shape of a coffin.
When I hear cocoon, I think about something that's like actually cocooning the person, like a mummy or those people and aliens, you know, where they got cocooned and their nutrients were sucked out.
Pod people.
Yeah, pod people. Yeah. That's what I think. So I just think that cocoon may not be the best choice of words.
Well,
maybe
and
there's something lost in translation there.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because this is not the first time somebody's been buried in a mushroom.
Oh.
Before the living cocoon, there were actually mushroom suits that you could get buried in. That was first invented by artist and entrepreneur J. Rim Lee, who proposed this idea around about 2008 when she revealed the Mushroom Infinity Suit at a fashion show at the Boston Museum of Science in 2008.
Isn't that like opposite infinity, though, because it rots faster than polyester?
Oh, infinity, I think, as in like the endless circle of life, as in you go back to the earth.
Okay, gotcha.
Not infinity, like infinite.
Assuming you're not in a lead-lined coffin or something.
Let's hope not. Mm-hmm. The Infinity Suit, made of mushrooms, has been available to purchase since 2016. You can watch a TED Talk on it from about 2011. And most notably, actor Luke Perry was just buried in one in 2019.
Well, good for him, being buried in a mushroom suit.
Yeah, yeah. The inventor, J. Rim Lee, said that she was inspired by her passions of art, ecology, science, and fashion. And so the mushroom suit is something to behold when you look at it. It's pretty something that most people probably would not choose to have be displayed in for the final time. It makes a statement. I'm not going to say whether it's good or bad. It makes a strong statement. So the mushroom suit is not a popular option, even though it's been available for years now, for half a decade now. It's still not very popular. And I know this because when you go to the site of the company that makes it, it is a 404 page. So it must have taken off very well. But now we have the living cocoon, which is in all ways probably a little easier to work with and a little more culturally acceptable.
Just don't wear polyester to get buried in. Wear cotton.
Well, fungi can eat polyester. You just have to focus on the correct kind of fungi. In fact, J. Rim Lee, the inventor of the mushroom infinity suit, practiced making the suit by feeding fungi her nails and hair and shed pieces of skin.
I love artists. Right? We're so weird. This is not something that like an HR representative would do.
A pure scientist would be like, what? The artist is like, yes, I fed it my own skin cells to make sure I was using the correct type of mushrooms. I love that. That's the best part. Like thinking about her in her art studio feeding little bits of fingernail to these fungal colonies and then sewing them into a suit. Oh, that's great. But anyway, the living cocoon does not have to change much at all about your funeral practices. So you can have a traditional funeral, but still be buried in a mushroom. According to the National Funeral Directors Association, more than half of consumers who respond to surveys are interested in greener burial processes. So why would anybody care about that?
There's so many reasons.
Right?
For one, it's taking up a lot of space. There's a lot of places where you can only rent a gravesite for 5 years just because there's not enough space, especially in, you know, very crowded, overdeveloped or urban areas. There's definitely a push for places of burial to be able to be used also as a park or some other place where families can play without stepping in sinkholes caused by rotting graves. And also, it's just better for the earth. Burying all that plastic and treated wood and whatnot into the ground, who knows what that's doing?
Right. And just as a caveat for our listeners, we're not telling you what to do. We're not judging you. Honestly, there's no one way to take care of burial that's wrong or right. Although shooting your flaming corpse out of a t-shirt cannon into the funeral crowd might be judge-worthy. But, you know,
wait, who aside, did
that? I don't know. Do you want to do that with me? Make a plan?
Sure.
I mean, anything for publicity, right?
I want to be cremated, but Viking funeral sounds awesome.
I want to do a separate episode of fun things to do with cremains. Because there's a lot. I'm
going to
go over two of them in this one. But if you have a really specific way that you desire your own funeral or a loved one's funeral and burial to go, by all means, do that. Because it does matter that it satisfies you and makes you happy and makes your family feel a sense of closure. That's what funerals are for. So do it. But the problem is the funeral industry is based around ignorance.
Money?
Well, of course. I mean, it's capitalism. All industries are. But it's based around ignorance. The average person isn't going to have to plan a funeral more than once, maybe twice in their life. And so they are grieving. They're making split-second decisions. They feel a massive amount of grief and guilt potentially already. And now they're going to have to make these huge financial decisions for end-of-life processes. Because Amber was asking me earlier, so what happens if you just decline to do anything with the body, with the human remains? And the answer is that's illegal. You can't just like leave it on the lawn to grow flowers. That's not legal at all in the United States. You have to do something with the body. So the question then becomes, what do you do? And the industry is very much like, we've got the answer for you. Here it is. It's going to be expensive and it's going to be one of two things. You buy a casket, you have a burial plot and you get put in the ground, like you said, for somewhere between 5 years and infinity, or you get cremated. And those are the options. Which one do you want? And in the moment, of course, you're going to feel pressured to choose one of those options. But we're just here to let you know you got more options than that. And you can make a good, informed decision that's based on both your family's emotional needs and it aligns with your personal family values. So let's get into some options. And of course, this option that we're talking about is the mycelium coffin. But we had said that typical funeral practices may not be so good for the environment. Here's a good list of reasons why. Number one, in the U.S. alone, over 4 million gallons of embalming fluid are used every year just for funerals. Embalming is not a legal issue. You don't have to embalm a corpse. There's no real benefit to embalming a corpse.
Wait. You do if you're going to take it across state lines.
Yes, exactly. That's the main benefit, is that you can travel with it without it decaying, and you can have an open casket funeral. It's only legally required if you plan to have an open casket funeral or viewing. It wasn't a thing until the Civil War, because that was when it was kind of popularized to ship the remains home in order to be buried. And so it was used to specifically preserve the remains for a little while in order to ship them home. So that, I guess, so their family would know for sure that this was indeed George. So embalming fluid, unfortunately, still contains toxic ingredients like formaldehyde, which is a probable carcinogen, which leaches into the ground as your body decays. There's a lot of misconceptions that embalming fluid preserves your body for a long time. Like, people who don't know anything about it would think that because they're looking at this deceased person in their casket at their funeral, that they're going to look like that in the ground. And it's not the case. Embalming fluid will only preserve you a few more days. And yet it's incredibly potentially detrimental to the earth. this practice is something that doesn't need to happen, but is commonplace and just considered status quo in our society here. And when you have hardwood coffins, those aren't a renewable resource. Those hardwoods used in typical attractive coffins are going to be a non-renewable resource.
Just because it takes so long to grow?
Exactly. Yeah. Hardwood does take a long time to grow and replace. And we don't use pine boxes anymore because it's considered disrespectful because they're so inexpensive. In fact, it's probably, I would guess, more common to be buried in a cardboard coffin than it is in a pine coffin anymore. Most people are going to be buried in a hardwood coffin if
but
they're
going
for looks.
Cardboard has a lot of acid in it. I wouldn't want that in the ground.
And it doesn't biodegrade nicely, which is why it has to be recycled. Don't worry, mycelium can eat cardboard. And then you're talking about a bunch of metal, varnish, and glue in your typical coffin that's not biodegradable. Coffin hardware contaminates groundwater all over the place by leaching. It can leach copper, iron, lead, cobalt, zinc into your groundwater near the graveyard. And the lining of the coffin is typically made with plastic, satin, or styrofoam overlain with velvet or microfiber, which is all not biodegradable and all potentially toxic. But don't worry, mycelium can eat it. The other option, of course, being cremation. Well, that sounds a lot more eco-friendly because you're not using up that burial plot and you're not using that coffin. However, cremation releases
fumes from the fire, all the fumes.
From the fire, yeah. Fire is not carbon neutral, guys. Every year, they're assuming that in the U.S., cremation releases about 360,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide a year, just in the U.S.
And, so the Viking funeral's out, because that's going to be really bad for the environment.
Yeah, it's same basic, because, yeah, I guess you're not burning at that high of a temperature, so that things are left over other than just ashes.
Oh, there are things that are left over when you cremate someone. You just don't see it.
Uh-huh.
You only get a portion of the ashes.
They sift it like kitty litter before giving it to you.
Yeah, if you've ever seen like really burned bones, it's like chunks.
Well, I wonder what they do with the chunks if they don't put them in the urn. But
I think they put them in the ground.
Oh, so you're still contributing to human remains going into the ground, I guess. And then there have to be local regulations on cremation emissions. That's how potentially harmful they are to humans. And during the first couple of years of the coronavirus, Los Angeles County actually had to suspend their regulations to deal with all the remains in funeral homes. So we're already overwhelming our own standards for cremation. It also produces nitrogen dioxide, which could be what's causing so much acid rain. And believe it or not, when dental fillings are burnt, it's going to release mercury.
Oh, yeah.
And it's estimated about 2 tons of mercury per year are burned up in cremations. That could be going into the environment and the atmosphere. And it takes 28 gallons of fossil fuel per body.
So that's like 2 truckfuls of gasoline.
Doesn't seem like a lot until you realize there were so many bodies to be cremated in Los Angeles County that they had to lift the regulations on how many bodies could be cremated per day. Yeah, it's a lot. All of these things are reasons why the typical American funeral is not ideal for the planet. You can care about that or not. That's your prerogative. I care. So I'm interested in different options. And the option I'm most interested in right now,
mushrooms,
is being buried in a mushroom. There's a few benefits of mushroom coffins that you might not know about. The typical wooden casket with human remains in it will take about 10 to 20 years or more to biodegrade, even to really start degrading. The mycelium coffin and its contents, the mycelium coffin itself biodegrades in 45 days.
And how about the body?
And then it goes to work on you. Exactly. It speeds up the decomposition of the body. So instead of the body being around for 20 years, I mean, think about it. Like you said, you can rent a funeral plot for 5 years. And then what? You're not even starting to biodegrade at the end of 5 years. Then you have to just do what? Be cremated? And then you've done double the environmental impact.
So it speeds up the decomposition.
It'll speed it up to 2 to 3 years. Because like I said, the fungi, once they're done dissolving and incorporating into the earth, they also eat you and your clothes and the lining of the casket, etc. Speaking of the lining of the casket, The mycelium coffin is typically lined with beautiful, soft, green, fluffy moss. So you get to be laid to rest like a beautiful elven fairy tale princess. Just strikes joy into my heart. That sounds even cooler than velvet or satin to me. You can grow your own mycelium coffin. Well, I don't know if you can grow your own, but the company Loop can grow a mycelium coffin in just 1 week.
Oh, okay.
Which makes it incredibly fast to produce and renewable. When you expand this business into other regions from the Netherlands, you can actually use local fungi in order to help the local ecosystem as much as possible. And when you're using the mycelium coffin, it actually is carbon negative because the mushrooms themselves will clean up the soil and decontaminate some of the chemicals in the body. As you know, even fetal cord blood that's been tested is shown to have over 100 types of toxins in it.
What?
And the average American adult is going to die with over 200 types of toxins contaminating their tissues. So this all goes into the earth unless it's eaten by mushrooms. Don't worry. Mushrooms will eat it.
Man, I don't think we're paying these mushrooms enough. I'm going to help them pick it.
And then the land, as you said, the land can be very contaminated by the use of these funeral products, but the mycelium coffin will actually reduce the toxins in the land itself that are released from your body, so much so that the land can then be used for something else later. If you need to develop on that land, it's not going to be contaminated.
So getting back to something you said earlier, you can't just leave a body in the front yard and grow flowers on it.
Yeah.
Can you not bury a loved one in a mycelium coffin in the front yard? Can you get like special provisions for that? And then become a vegetable garden? I mean, that sounds nice. I'd like to be a vegetable garden.
I know there are some places where there are laws against using human remains of any form for planting food for people. Somehow there's like a circle of life to interrupt where like various world religions are like, no, we're not eating people food made of people. This is bad. That's one of the reasons why cremation is so regulated, I think, because you're not supposed to dispose of the ashes in a way that they could get into a human food or water supply.
So I have so many questions from a ghost perspective, right?
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So you know how a lot of people believe that as a ghost, you're going to walk around in whatever you're buried in, right? So if you are buried in this mushroom suit, which is going to probably decompose faster than the body, does that mean that you're going to spend part of your ghost years walking around naked?
In a clothing optional.
Yeah, like just kind of hanging off of you in shreds as it rots away.
That would be awesome, but I don't think so, because your clothing is also probably going to decompose at a different rate from your body.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, any clothing is going to decompose at a different rate from your body.
Oh, any clothing. So that's why we have so many half-naked ghosts wandering.
So that's what a half-body apparition is. All right, all right, okay.
That's why they don't want to show themselves. I don't know what happened to my pants.
I'm going to start a nonprofit clothing optional colony for ghosts. I think that's a valuable thing. If you're a ghost and you have clothing, or you were buried in the buff, and so now you're forced to walk the planet for eternity in the nude, is that so bad? And I've got a home for you.
Well, that's another question. I bet you're going to talk about green funerals here in a minute, but does that mean it is a better option to be buried naked?
Ooh. So, yes, because a lot of our clothing is made with polyester, which is going to take longer to decompose than...
But mushrooms will eat it.
Don't worry, mushrooms will eat it. Exactly. But if you were buried in natural fibers, they should decay at approximately the same rate as your body if they're not preserved with formaldehyde.
Cotton and linen. Yeah, who's going to preserve their clothes? Well, actually, formaldehyde is actually used in a lot of wrinkle-free garments. You may not be aware of this.
Yeah.
So if you buy a wrinkle-free garment, be sure you wash it before you wear it the first time, especially wrinkle-free sheets. You may end up having a reaction to your new sheets because they've got formaldehyde in them. That's what makes them wrinkle-free.
Mm-hmm.
I just wear wrinkled clothes. I don't iron and I don't buy wrinkle-free. I just wear I mean, whatever. I tell ghost stories for a living. Who cares if my clothes are wrinkled?
Also in plywood. So that's why you don't burn old plywood scraps, because it contains formaldehyde.
Oh, shit. I should have stopped burning that. Well, anyways, So do go on. I just am eager to hear about some other options you have to tell us.
So there are some reasons why you might not want to get buried in a mushroom coffin, to play devil's advocate. There's a lot of people who think of having to buy a specific type of coffin, have a specific open casket funeral and observation of the body as respectful, and are basically hung up on whether or not this would be a respectful way to get buried. Also, just aesthetically, the mushroom coffin, it doesn't have to change your funeral practice because it's still a coffin. You can still have a funeral exactly the way you would have with another coffin, but because you're an eco nut, if you're getting this kind of stuff, you probably also won't be embalmed, so you probably won't have an open casket funeral, which is good because the mushroom coffin sort of looks like a cooler chest and people might start putting beverages in there with you. You never know. That might be confusing, but aesthetically, it definitely looks like a big cooler chest. So
yeah, it's not very pretty.
It depends on your definition of pretty, because I love that bed of moss. The moss is so pretty in there. And then it's also pretty to like be returned to the earth just conceptually. It's like beautiful on the inside, right? So aesthetics may or may not agree with the styrofoam cooler chest look.
It's very minimalist. We can say that. It's very minimalist. Well, what other options are there for us if we want to be green, but we just can't get past the brutalism look of this casket?
Or if we live in a very humid place where the casket might start to dissolve as we're pallbearing it. Or if we live in a very dry place where we might just turn into a mushroomy mummy because it'll never activate because it's water activated.
So this is not an option for Arizona or Florida.
Yeah, probably not going to be super popular in Georgia. I guess the Netherlands is like the perfect place for this. If you don't want to be buried in a mushroom, you can be cremated and have your remains placed in a tree pod, which is basically human remains and seeds to grow a tree from.
Oh, as long as you've done, it doesn't fruit with anything you're going
to
eat as a human.
Yeah, you're not allowed to eat. It's not allowed to be a food tree. I guess in most places. I wouldn't know about everywhere. Some places it's probably legal.
Tell the squirrel that.
And in fact, speaking of legalization, California just now legalized human composting, which was already legal in Washington, Oregon, and Colorado. It's also known as natural organic reduction, and it involves placing your body in a reusable container, surrounding it with wood chips, and then letting microbes and bacteria grow in the aerated wood chips for about a month, and you will become soil.
How is that different from a green burial, or is it the same thing?
A green burial is where you're buried with a coffin and clothing made from all natural biodegradable materials. A coffin made of wicker or macrame or cardboard even is going to biodegrade when you're buried. And so that's the idea of a green burial, is to be completely biodegradable. But a green burial doesn't necessarily include anything that would cause you to biodegrade safer or faster. Include water cremation. Have you heard of this?
Is that like a water birth?
Yes, it's like the opposite of a water birth, I suppose. It is also legally known as alkaline hydrolysis. It uses just plain water mixed with lye and potash. So you add the potash or the lye to the water, and then you place it in something, pressurize it, and heat it. So basically, your instant pot with the human remains.
And you come out as soap? Because that's how we make
like
soap.
Like in Fight Club.
No, seriously.
Tyler Durden's going to make some soap out your body fat.
No. There's a lot of potash and lye in soap here.
I know. Because you need a strong alkaline base. Yes. So maybe you become soap. I'm not sure. Fun things to do with cremains number 7. So alkaline hydrolysis will decompose a whole body in 3 to 18 hours.
God.
So, and my favorite alternative, there is a coffin club in New Zealand, which is now spread to Australia, which is...
Wait, do they send you a new coffin every month in the mail?
That's cool. No, it's a group of old timers who are designing their own coffins out of cheap materials
so that they
can be buried in them. And they have the coolest music video on YouTube. You have to go watch. It's hilarious.
Oh. I've heard of the Coffin Club, which is super cool. The hydro, the water birth thing is nuts.
Water birth. Alkaline hydrolysis.
Wow. So, yeah, thanks, Diana.
So would you be buried in a mushroom, Becky?
Oh, hell yeah. That sounds awesome. I was actually planning on being cremated until I learned how bad it was for the environment. But a mushroom coffin sounds nice. It sounds like, you know, you still have the processional, the fanfare, the family can say goodbye. It's a nice little cozy moss-lined bed.
So let's do a combination casket club and mycelium coffin where we grow our own mycelium coffins out of local fungus and then like emblazon the side with logos before we get buried in them. Like, let's get to haunting.
You have to make sure that the ink used in the logos is biodegradable.
Well, fortunately for us, it doesn't have to be that complicated because you can purchase a mycelium coffin from Loop. This is not sponsored by Loop, but we would totally take your sponsorship. Thank you.
Diana, thank you so much for educating me all about mushroom roots.
We hope you enjoyed this bonus episode about being buried in a mushroom. And if you do, that might lead to a pretty spooky day.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty and produced by Homespun Haints Media LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.